Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis the second, along with Haggai Davis the third, welcoming you into our show where we like to talk about all things technology, but we want to do so in a way that's relevant, interesting, and not using a lot of geek speak or acronyms. We just want to talk about tech in a way that's interesting to you, whether it has anything to do with the past, present, and future of all things technology. And we do want to start by thanking Cardinal Capital. If you're a business owner, a CEO, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. But if you're facing challenging situations such as a need to consolidate debt, you're in growth mode, want to buy new equipment, or level out your cash flow, whatever your need or challenges are, give Cardinal Capital a call because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial business capital. Call Chris, Gary, or Rob at Cardinal Capital, because they have a passion for business and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to any lending institution that best fits your unique situation. In short, they go after the money for your business. They translate what you do into what's important for the banks, and they're good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your business, and here's the good part. They're fun and easy to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website, cardinalcap.net, or call 225-308-3700 or email info@cardinalcap.net. So, Mr. Davis, we ready to do a little tech gumbo today?
I very much am.
All right. So we're going to start off with the story that I'm just so excited about, especially considering just a few days ago was Star Wars Day.
Everyone loves May the 4th.
The realist. So Disney, the Imagineers at Disney, have created a real life lightsaber.
Well, it's getting closer to a real-life lightsaber. It's not going to cut off any arms anytime soon. But it has the handle or the hilt. And then when you press the button, you know, the blade comes out and it glows and it hums. And it's a pretty cool-looking thing.
Yeah, so they've patented this device. And it's not like the little multi-piece plastic that you know, bevels itself down when you slap it out. This thing extends itself out, and it's got LED lights inside of the tube so that it looks like it's the light coming out of the handle. Looks really cool, and they're going to have these, the Disney cast members, as what the employees are called, are going to have them, especially those that are at the Star Wars Galaxy Edge part of Disney World.
Yeah, that's wherever I see these being really cool, is whenever Disney's doing their theme parks, they're doing the shows on stage, or, you know, you have you're walking around and then the Jedi jumps down and says, "Look, there's some stormtroopers," and the stormtroopers fire, pew, 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 and the Jedi whips out the lightsaber and it turns on and saves the people. Oh, yeah, I could see that being loads of fun and super cool.
Oh, and I mean, so Disney is supposed to be launching sometime next year a new hotel there, and it's going to be like you're staying in one of the Star Cruisers. And so in this story, they talk about how in the first Star Wars that ever came out, where Luke is got his lightsaber and he's swinging around, you know, hitting the little light blast coming off the droid floating around. This thing, you know, they're talking about having it recepting to light. So when you're swinging around, ooh, you know, when you actually block the shot that came at you. And if you miss, and it will make noises kind of thing so that you know you got hit. And
they're really trying to make this a lot of fun here.
Oh, this could inspire a family vacation. Yes.
I hope so.
Yes. So That's our lead story today. Anytime anybody's got an actual lightsaber, that's going to lead on Tech Gumbo, folks.
we are that kind of show here.
Yep. Moving along, the Chinese put up a rocket about a week or so ago, and it didn't quite make full orbit. It got to where it pushed off the second part of it, but then the part that was supposed to come back down and land in the ocean didn't.
Yeah, so it turns out that rocket science is really hard, and this rocket is just tumbling through the space right now, and they hope that it lands somewhere not habited, because it's probably going to be messy when it finally comes down.
So this thing is like 25 tons, and its orbit is degrading rapidly, so that somewhere before the end of May, could be any day now, could be a couple of weeks out, nobody really knows, and they don't know where. They're, you know, the Earth being 70% covered in water, they're hoping it lands in the Pacific and not on Beijing or New York City. Or 25 tons is not going to completely disintegrate when it comes back into the atmosphere.
Oh, it is going to land somewhere, and it is not going to be a fun day for whatever cow out in Kansas that it hits.
This thing is going to make a big hole somewhere, whether it's water, whether it's somewhere on dry land, wherever it comes down, it's going to make a big hole for somebody that's going to have a bad day.
Yeah, we just have to hope that it doesn't hit anybody, that it does make a nice splash, that it disrupts some fish out there in the Pacific and they fish it out, you know, safely and soundly.
Oh, I doubt they'll fish that thing out if it hits the ocean.
It'll disintegrate once it hits the surface.
Yeah. You know, the karma says you hope it hits China on the launch pad that it came from.
I mean, if it came back and landed itself, you know, upright, I bet Tesla would be really impressed. Or SpaceX.
The boys and girls at SpaceX would be very impressed if this thing hurtling end over end the way it is now lands. Sure. I'm just thinking if it comes down and makes a big hole in the middle of the China launch field, that would be kind of karma, shall we say, would visit the Chinese.
That is real specific.
I'm not counting on that happening. I might be betting on lottery tickets more than I would bet on that.
Yeah. But speaking of satellites that are doing better, SpaceX has officially told the SEC to dismiss all negative claims about Starlink, because Starlink is perfect and she'll never underperform ever in any way whatsoever.
So for those of you out there who think we have some constitutional duty to talk about SpaceX on every show, we don't. It's every other show.
Right. You know, we took a break.
But yes, yeah, so SpaceX is saying, hey, we're doing a good job here. The FCC thinks we're doing a good job here. Some of SpaceX's competitors don't think so. And they, you know, there's even a lawsuit that's seeking to stop SpaceX from doing as much as they're doing, as fast as they're doing. And they have made some claims that they're going to do a whole lot more than they're capable of doing. And it's going to take them a lot longer to do half of what they say they can do.
Yeah, the SpaceX's official statement was, the authors of that criticism do not understand Starlink's technology, how the network operates, or any future plans. The end results are deeply flawed analyses that in no way reflect the actual capacity of the Starlink network. All right, dude. This is somebody drinking the Musk Kool-Aid, that they are 100% going to hit every target no matter what, and that anybody who dares dream of them even being 99% of their operational capacity has clearly, you know, bumped their head one too many times.
Yeah, but SpaceX is making money.
Yes, they are.
So far, they've received over 500,000 orders, pre-orders at this point, because they're still in beta, which means you had to send up a $99 pre-order fee. So SpaceX is sitting on $50 million cash in the bank, drawing interest, waiting for everything to get enough satellites up there to do something.
And that's only since mid-February. So in the, you know, 2.5 or 3 months, they've already received 500,000 pre-orders. That's a lot and not a lot of time.
And so right now, SpaceX has about 10,000 people actually using their system here in the U.S. and in southern parts of Canada. You know, okay, so you got 10,000 people trying it out for a test drive. You got 500,000 more want to jump in. Is the system ready for 500,000? Do they have satellite dishes for 500,000?
Well, you know, we sat there when we were looking at it earlier. They are releasing satellites up into space about 2,000, maybe 2,300 per year. So if their goal, if their minimum goal is 12,000 satellites, well, that's five more years to get there.
Well, the 12,000 satellites was to have universal coverage around the Earth.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, it might be four or five years before you're out in Siberia and get coverage. But if you're in the United States, you know, you're going to have coverage now. If you're in Canada, you know, other parts of wherever they're parking their satellites up there, you're going to have coverage.
Right. You know, as far as the places that they're looking to target, like the U.S., like Canada, you know, the satellites will be capable. But then the question then becomes, you know, is their network capable? How many of these receiver dishes can they get out there? You know, how long does it take if your person, you know, 500,001 to sign up for this Starlink? How long until you actually get your service? And that's a question which I don't think that SpaceX has really begun to address yet.
Yeah, because SpaceX doesn't have 500,000 dishes on hand. So we'll see how that plays out.
Right. But, you know, we also want to keep talking about some other things. There's a fun story about Nissan. If you go to Nissan.com, you're not going to find what you think you're going to find there. It's not the car manufacturer. It's the personal webpage of some random guy.
Yeah, this guy's name is Uzi Nissan. And back in 1999, he went out and bought the domain name Nissan.com because it's his last name. And that's the name of his business. He had a little consulting, computer business. And so he bought Nissan.com, and the car manufacturer was a little slow on the uptick and didn't quite jump out there and nail down the name. And, you know, they thought they were going to go in and push this guy around and say, hey, we're Nissan, we're taking the name back. And they sued, and the guy won in court.
Right, because he wasn't just squatting. He didn't just buy it just to have it. It was his last name, and he was using it. And
it was the name of his business, too.
Yeah. So some company couldn't just come and say, you have to give this to us. You know, you're trying to extort us for money. No, he didn't care about the car company. You know, he was self-sufficient. And so I think it cost him millions of dollars, you know, a whole bunch of time. But he went down swinging and he won. And I think to this day, it's still him on the website. And the car company uses something else.
Yes, if the car company is NissanUSA.com. So the car company, a long time ago, and look, I used to have a Nissan, and I remember going to Nissan.com and getting this guy's website and thinking, well, that's weird. And I didn't think much of it. And then I searched for Nissan cars, and all of a sudden it's Nissan USA. And I just thought, well, okay, maybe that's how they're branding themselves. I didn't realize this whole story. Unfortunately, the guy, Uzi Nissan, he died recently because of COVID.
Yeah. That's, you know, we lost a whole lot of people in 2020, and this fun little story is one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, man, I love the fact that this little guy took on a massive corporation and won because he was right. He yep. had the right to own the domain name. He had the right to use the domain name, and he did. And big, huge corporate, you know, a team full of lawyers couldn't beat him. And I love that story.
It's so much fun.
So another, you know, speaking of COVID, here in Louisiana, we've had, you know, LA Wallet for quite some time. Since 2018, you could have your driver's license in a digital format on your smartphone. And that's cool. Well, now Louisiana has even taken it another step. If you want your COVID-19 vaccination verification, you can have that as part of your app now.
Yeah. So we're huge fans of the LA Wallet. It's a cool app that it is from the Louisiana state government, and it is a valid form of identification. Anywhere that takes Louisiana driver's license has to take this digital version. It is a functioning 100% the same copy of your driver's license. And so now not only does it have your driver's license, you can also throw in your COVID-19 card. Instead of carrying around that piece of paper with you, you now have the verified digital copy.
I think this is so cool. You know, you've seen a lot of apps or a lot of people talking about having to have, you know, an app with your certificate and, you know, your COVID passport, if you will, what people are calling it. Louisiana just said, to hell with that. We'll take care of this. We got it. We've already got the app. We just got one more page on it now. And I haven't downloaded it yet or uploaded my COVID vaccination into this yet, but I will soon.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And it also makes sense to continue to add things to it. That, you know, as we have other pieces of important documentation, have them all together instead of having me track down, okay, my birth certificate. I'd love to have a digital copy of my birth certificate next to the digital copy of my driver's license. That'd save me so much time. Or my social security card. Have all these things next to each other in a digital format. That way, if they get lost or they get wet or they get destroyed in some way, you don't have to track all this down again. And it's like, oh yeah, we have this technology. This isn't new. This isn't groundbreaking. Let's have the government catch up to the concept of a PDF.
Yeah, really. It's that simple. And so good on LA Wallet. Now, it's good to see Louisiana taking leadership on something like this. One last story here to talk about. Our friends at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, that little helicopter Ingenuity has now had its fourth flight, and it is just amazing.
Yeah, so they are sitting there. They have explored a total distance of close to a mile, and they are just collecting an incredible amount of data. And this really is the future. It is so exciting what they're able to do with this. The colored pictures that they're taking, the fact that it's quality imagery, it's quality footage, this is just so cool.
When you see the pictures from the Mars rover taking photos back of the helicopter, and then you see pictures from the helicopter taking pictures of the rover, man, that's unbelievable. The amount of brain power that it had to take to create, because this is doing these things autonomously. This is not somebody saying smile and pushing a button. This is 14 minutes it takes just for the signal to go to get there. So it has to know to do all of those things. The the helicopter, when it's up, it has to know where to look to be able to take that picture all by itself.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. This, it's not some engineer at NASA with a joystick sitting there pointing left and right. It has to do all of these things on its own. And so whenever it's flying around and navigating, it's making its own calculations. They have it set to the right height, the right speed, so that it can sit there and make sure it processes everything and it's not happening too fast. This is some really cool stuff, some really fascinating pieces of AI that it's able to do all of these calculations.
Absolutely. So I just love that. And you know, for those of you, you may have heard, we had, you know, Keith Como from JPL on several months ago talking about this. And he was so excited about this helicopter and what it was going to be doing. And so if you've missed that episode, go back and find it. It was a great segment. One of my favorites in 7 years of doing this show. It was one of my favorite all-time segments. So real excited about that. And we'll continue to watch Ingenuity and the Mars Rover and see what they're doing.
Absolutely. And if you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. And the show will rerun Sundays also at 4. If you want to go back and find that episode with Keith Como, or you want to go back and listen to this episode again, you can check out our podcast, available on almost every major podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, and more. And then whenever you're there, be sure to subscribe so that you'll get notifications every time we post a new episode.
And if you like our show, if you have any suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and we're on Facebook at Tech Gumbo Show, or you can text us at 225-255-0431. Please follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.